You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Albers.
Amy, did you know that in high school, and this was a long time ago because, you know, I'm an old dude.
The year was 1937.
Just thinking about our guest today, I actually did public spoken word stuff. This is in the 80s, right? My theater teacher, her name was Dorothy Mulvihill, and she was out of Manteca High. And actually, the theater at Manteca High is named after her. But she had us doing this stuff in the, 80s, the late 80s. And I had no idea what it was that we would just stand up. And we did it sort of a scripted thing. So it was like we would almost do poetry, but we would read it out loud with scripts. We weren't memorizing things like our guest obviously does. But, you know, it wasn't really cool. And now it seems like it's cool, a lot cooler for sure, especially in Stockton. I mean, it's been cool in Stockton for like a decade. But our guest has obviously taken that to a whole new level.
No, I did not know you did that. I'm actually surprised. I learned a lot about you in our little banters at the beginning of these podcasts, just our storytelling moment. But it made me think about when I was in college. That's when I first started hearing more and more about like spoken word poetry and then the term slam poetry. And I thought for the longest time that slam poetry meant it was a roast. Like you were roasting someone, but it was like in the form of poetry. And I wasn't disappointed when I went to a slam poetry, but it was not what I expected. I was like, oh.
They're not making fun of anybody.
No, I thought it was, yeah.
Man.
I don't know. Slam and roast. I thought that was the same word. But anyways, as we have been alluding, we're super excited to have our celebrity guest with us today, Brandon Leake. He is a spoken word poet and motivational speaker. And beyond that, he also won America's Got Talent for his poetry. So Brandon, thank you so much for being with us today. And we want to kick things off by asking you to share a bit about your background and your Stockton story.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for welcoming me to the Visit Stockton podcast. I'm super excited to get the chance to be able to be here. So yeah, I'm born and raised here in Stockton. I am a product of Southside Stockton in particular. Grew up off of 6th and Nightingale back when Snow White used to be out on the South Side before they put some whack Family Dollar over there. And then back when Kmart was still over there, shout out to Sam's Donuts. One of the two best donut spots in towns, them and Big Worms. Big Worms on the north side. That's my guy over there. I'm a kid who went to Commodore, was, you know, athlete in high school, played over at Edison High School, made it to the playoffs 3 of my 4 years in high school. And my story in Stockton was, you know, pretty average. I, you know, never really left it when I was growing up here, but I was the kid who was like, man, I cannot wait to escape from Stockton. Went off to college for 4 years, and then some divine intervention brought me back to town, and now I don't want to leave. Yep. It's one of those interesting things where you don't understand the value of a place until you experience somewhere else. And I loved where I was at in college, but Stockton's a special place.
It's funny you mentioned that too, because I left town for 10 years. I was in the Army, and when I left in early 90s, I never thought I would return, right? That was like, you know, I joined the Army, let's go. And Amy, the same thing. Of course, she left for college and was gone for 13 years.
Yeah, about 13 years.
And then came back too. So we call them boomerangs. I feel like there's a lot of this boomerang action where people come back, find a new passion for their city and are doing amazing things like you are. So that is, that's pretty cool stuff. So how did the spoken word bug bite you? What got you into spoken word? Who got you into spoken word? Where did it all begin?
Oh, man. Well, first and foremost, shout out to Tama Brisbane, a.k.a. Mama T, here in good old Stockton. She is the queen of spoken word here in town. All things spoken word run through her. But I actually started my journey separate from that. I didn't really start doing poetry until college, seriously. I wrote in, you know, middle school and high school for girls who I thought were cute, but I would never really share them. But in college, after the passing of my best friend, Bernard Daniels, he drowned in Vambusker Levee, my freshman year. I needed an outlet because I was playing Division II basketball, and normally I would just throw all of my emotions on the court, but, it just wasn't really cutting it. And I was like, man, like, I don't know why or how, but I need to figure out a way to get these emotions out. And, there was an open mic on campus, and that was the way that, you know, me and God connected to find some healing.
It's amazing how the arts find you in moments like that. I've heard that same kind of story from other artists and other creatives, and thank God we have them, for real.
So for those who aren't familiar with your poetry, what are the overarching topics or themes that you like, you're passionate about talking?
Anything relevant to my life, pretty much. One of the biggest things I try not to do is tell other people's stories. So like, you won't see me writing some poem about like what it's like to be a woman. I'm not one, so I don't know what that experience is. I want to utilize my voice to speak for the groups I represent, but also to utilize it as a way to encourage others to share the stories for the groups that they represent.
Love it. So what led you to trying out for America's Got Talent? What went from a passion project to, I wonder if this is going to be my career?
So in 2013 and 2014, my senior year of college, my friends Sibby Sabu and Ferris Ryan went on tour. And they're like, hey, Brandon, you want to open up for us? And I was like, sure. That'd Heck be awesome. Yeah. So they had like 7 or 8 shows. I was able to make it to 5 of them, had some really life-changing experiences there. A woman who, her name's Benita, she told me that my poetry saved her life in a very literal sense. And then I come back home and I joined the Sacramento Slam team. Shout out to Luna's Cafe in Sacramento. And from there, I learned that I can start doing poetry to travel and make money. And so in 2016, I do a tour. I'm working a job over at the Women's Center. I get fired from that job because I used a sick day to go do a show. And they're like, that's against company policy.
You're honest.
And I'm like, hey, all right, you know, I'll take it. And then my tour is the only thing that I can make money on. And so at that point, a very humbling experience. I learn a lot from it. God's teaching me to build everything I'm doing on integrity. I get married to the woman who I met during that time. Her name is Anna. Love you to death, boo. I essentially say I'm not going to do poetry for a year, so that way I can just focus on being a married man and focus on my marriage for our year one.
Did it work?
And yeah, it did. I didn't like travel or hit the road or do anything really. I would just go to the local open mic like maybe once a month. But my friend hit me up and was like, hey, America's Got Talent has auditions in the Bay. This is the first year they're ever doing that. We should go. And I'm like, all right, cool. So we have like 2-3 weeks to get ready for it. I drive up to her house in Sacramento to go get ready for the audition. And she's like, oh, I'm not going. And I'm like, okay. So I drove to Sac, have to then drive out to San Jose, and I try out for the show, and I don't make it, and I shouldn't have made it. And the reason why is because I was asking something of my art that I wasn't willing to give it. I was asking for it to give me a profession when I wasn't treating it professionally. So from there, I spend the rest of that first year of marriage essentially just not really going to shows as much anymore, but just practicing, rehearsing, getting better, stepping in front of poets and getting advice from them. I go on a 150 show tour after I quit teaching, travel around the world with my wife. And then my wife gets pregnant. And at that point, I'm like, all right, need health insurance. Let's go back and teach. And then that's when you see me audition for America's Got Talent in 2019.
Okay. You put in the work.
Yeah. So it was really just a whim that forced me to go the first time. The second time I tried out was really just wanting to see if I'd gotten any better, because I was using it as kind of like a barometer to determine how much improved I am as a poet and as a performer based off of this now like 2 to 3 year change.
That's pretty sick. I kind of love that. So I'm trying to learn how to play golf right now, but I just want to play golf. And my brother's like, we need to go to the driving range because you need to practice. And I'm like, I just want to play golf though. And he's like, that's not how it works. You know, like you have to put in the work to try to learn, or you're just, you know, going out there and getting pissed off because you can't do it. So that's cool. You're very self-aware that you needed to just like take the time to put in the grind, and then look at you, and it all worked out. So that said, how did it feel to be the big winner?
Oh man.
Because we all loved it. It wasn't even, you know, we feel everyone in Stockton felt a little responsible for it, but it must have been pretty good to be on your end.
Nah, I felt so good for the city and for my art form. You know, like I feel like both Stockton and spoken word have a lot in common in terms of the fact that like they get looked at as like the redheaded stepchild. Mm-hmm. Right. Like Stockton's like the 13th biggest city in California, which could soon be like top 10 largest cities in California easily. And yet it still gets looked at as like people will roast Stockton to be like, oh, don't go there, you'll get shot. And it's like, come on now. And like when it comes to spoken word, you know, it's an art form that people look at and be like, oh, your little poetry thing. That's nice. Oh, yeah. And so I felt so proud for both Stockton and my art. But I was also kind of sad because I knew we wouldn't be able to celebrate as a city the way that I really wanted to celebrate as a city.
Yeah.
Just because of COVID. Like I knew that was just going to be like, oh man, if COVID wasn't a thing, like what would the city do?
We'd have been having a parade and stuff. Yeah, for real.
You know, like we would have had like such a fun time, but nah, it's okay.
Yeah, we were deep in it when that all happened. Actually, it was just such a great thing because it was so distracting, right? Watching those last few episodes as you progress, it was just a nice distraction and all of that craziness that, of course, everybody was going through. And what I loved is that you could have gone easily as a spoken word artist on AGT and never mentioned your hometown.
Yep.
And because, you know, people do that all the time, especially people from Stockton, right? You know, they don't necessarily want to, you know, bring that up as a point of pride, but you did. And especially when you came back the next season, you had the big letters behind Stockton you on letters, the stage. Yeah. I was like, oh, I mean, this is fantastic. And, you know, because we are never scared to talk about who we are. Sometimes we're gritty and sometimes we got our challenges, but we also know that we have a lot going on in the city and we know that there's a lot of great people like you. And I just love the fact that you were not shy about being proud of your city. I just think that that is something that more people need to do in this community, is not be shy about being proud about their community. So thank you for that.
Hey, if we can find more hometown pride, I think we would see our city become what people hope for it to be. Because it's not like we're lacking in talent or lacking in ability. It's just we're lacking in the support area for a lot of those things.
This is like Wes and I's everyday topic of conversation. Yes. Every day.
Yeah, because, you know, it's interesting. We talk about this because as Visit Stockton, right, we are typically the tourism organizations promote outside of the city. But we spend a lot of time promoting internally because we know that this city would move forward a lot quicker and easier if our own residents we're champions and cheerleaders rather than detractors and, you know, against the city. This city would have everything anybody wants, but they don't realize that they are doing damage to their own place that they want to see be better. So we could have a whole podcast on this.
Yeah, this needs to be an after hours. A couple drinks. Right. Yeah,
I'll invite you guys to my podcast and we'll talk all about
yeah.
it.
There you go. Yeah. Tell us what it is, Amy and Wes. Yeah, gosh.
So, Brandon, you've obviously, you mentioned you toured the world prior, and now I just looked at your schedule coming up. I mean, it's intense. So what are some of your favorite experiences while you're on tour? What do you love most about being on the road and sharing your story all over the country?
Probably my favorite thing has just been the people that I've built community and relationships with. You know, before America's Got Talent, I would travel to places and I'd just be getting the chance to get to know some people. And so, you know, there's always a little trepidation when you go someplace new and people are like, oh, you're the feature or you're the headliner. Cool. And then afterwards they see that you're kind of a nice person. But seeing how I was on the show, it's broken a lot of those walls down where I walk into places and they're like, oh, Brandon's here.
Cool.
And it's the interesting thing for me has been just how, because I'm just a very regular person, and people will oftentimes think way more highly of my whim than I do. So like, I remember going to a venue and they were like, hey man, you know, like, what kind of water do you drink?
You got a rider? You don't have a rider, Brandon? Come on.
No glue M&Ms. Yeah.
And I'm like, water? And they're like, yeah, but you know, like,
I want to import it in from Stockton, city of Stockton tap water. In every city.
And they're like, yo, but like, we went and bought like 7 different types of bottled water for you because we didn't know which kind you wanted. And I'm like, as long as it's not Arrowhead, then I'm pretty solid. And it was just one of those things where, like, having these conversations with people, they're like, Brandon's really down to earth. And I'm like, well, yeah, like, I know where I come from. Like, I know what God's done for me. I know, like, I know what it's like to have lived in poverty and to, like, be around people who think that they're better than you, simply because they have more financial resources than you. I'm like, when I always told myself and my mom, I'm like, yo, if I ever hit it big, then I'm going to be exactly who I was, if not just a better version of that after I get big.
And be able to share the love. That, yeah, God. And now I'm just thinking about people who actually have, like, water preferences, and I'm getting all annoyed. It's like, oh, I know. Those, like, if people exist. Like,
if I send it in a writer, if they're like, hey, yo, like, you know, what do you want? Like, I'll be like, all right, cool. You know, like, some smart water, like, some apples and some, like, fruity candy. But I'm like, if they were to put, like, Aquafina in there, I'm not going to be like, oh, my God.
slap it off the table. Yeah.
What is it?
Do you know who I am? Yeah. Yeah.
I was just reading. Who was I talking to about a writer? Maybe it was somebody from the Bob Hope or something, but they had a writer. They got all of this stuff, and the artist never touched any of it. Never touched any.
Oh, because I used to book concerts. It was the same thing. Oftentimes they never did, because it's the same thing they put in every single writer in every single city they're in. And it was like, oh God.
If I send you a writer with stuff and you get stuff, I don't even care if I don't like some of the stuff you replaced it with. I'm taking it. Like, I'm paying
it. Like, my hotel later.
it becomes airplane snacks the next day.
Yep.
Immediately. Yeah, for sure. But outside of the people who I meet, it's most certainly the kid in me that enjoys it the most.
Because you're seeing the world.
Yeah, because, like, I remember
going
to Sacramento used to feel like a field trip, because I would never leave Stockton.
Yep.
Right? And so, like, for instance, some of the kids who I'm working with now, we'll talk about it soon, but, like, we're looking at being able to take 40 students from Stockton up to New York and DC to go see the National Poetry Slam, right? Like, I know there's going to be at least 10 of those kids who've never left this city for real.
Yeah. Travel is such a privilege, and it is so, so, so important for people to be able, and a lot of us take it for granted. When I was working in Idaho, there was a town 20 miles away, and we would take some of these, or not me personally, but our organization, and these kids were like, I didn't know there was anything beyond that hill. Like, we thought this was where it ended. And it's like, man, you just, like, their whole world's, like, exploded before your eyes. And it is just, that is very cool, Brandon. Very cool. I guess I can get into that question.
Yeah, well, but I hope he's also getting some time. I mean, I've seen the schedule, and sometimes I'm like, he's on the East Coast one day and on the West Coast the next day. But hopefully you're taking some time strategically to explore some of these communities, because, you know, there's some good food and just some good history and culture you get to experience out there.
That's true. Oh, the food is the third thing on the list. Now, I have a ritual when I go places. I usually land late. I usually try to leave late so I can spend as much time with my wife and kids before I go someplace. So when I land in a place, the first thing I eat is something I know, just so that way I could be safe. But then the next day, it's all local stuff, which I don't recommend in some places. I'm just going to be honest with you. But I'm not going to throw no shade at no particular locations, but... Yeah, nah, I went to a breakfast spot in a particular city that everybody was like, this is the place. And then, I was like, this is not the place.
My body.
So.
Yeah, it's always I'll eat the weirdest thing in the weirdest places. But I kind of like that idea, like the first night, maybe something familiar just so you can, like, be cool with it, go to bed well, not have a rough night. That's... That's a good words of wisdom.
Because I just don't want to be disappointed going to sleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, right? Totally that's the last thing you do before you close your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked a bit about the kids and the things that Brandon's working on. So Brandon, we understand you're the founder of a group called Called to Move. And you spoke with us offline a little earlier about how you've been working with the school or working on some things with the school district. So tell us a bit about that organization and how it helps the Stockton community.
So yeah, Called to Move started out just as an artistry group in college. It was like all of us collective weirdos at this small Christian school who didn't really have a place to fit in. And we would put on these open mics, and it ended up changing a lot of the culture inside of the school, which was awesome. And then, you know, we all graduate and people's preferences on how art's going to play a role in their lives change. But then I brought it back to Stockton. And I turned it into a 501c3, thanks in part to United Way of San Joaquin County. Shout out to them. And yeah, it's an artistry initiative to aid students in being able to self-actualize through writing. So we do workshops with students, after school programs, during school programs, and help them essentially just find their voice and mainly determining what their dream is and how they're going to make that dream become a reality. So yeah, we've been doing that with Lincoln Unified since 2017. And this is the first year we got the chance to push into all of their classrooms. We'll be publishing every single one of their students who participated. And then if all works well next year, we'll be in Stockton Unified for the first time and back over at Aspire School District.
That's amazing. Do you sleep?
Yeah, here's my thing. I know that my race is going to be one where I'm not going to keep this pace for long. But while I can, I want to.
And the momentum's there. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
My kids are very young, so like I can be gone from home and it not hurt as much for them or for me. But like when my daughter's like 4 and 5 and she's going to, like, she started gymnastics. She's going to start having gymnastic stuff. I ain't trying to miss that. I'm trying to be home.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I'm very inspired by how intentional you are with like the process of how you're moving through your career and whatnot. It is very like you're taking care of yourself, but it's very much selfless in the way that it seems like you're navigating all of this. And it's very cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked earlier a little bit, Brandon, about just your love for the city. So why is it so important for you to make an impact in the Stockton community?
Because Stockton made an impact on me. I mean, like, I'm a Stockton product. You feel me? No matter how messed up the city may be, the woes it's gone through, the things that it's, you know, the trials and tribulations, Stockton gave me a home. Stockton gave me a culture. Stockton gave me a perspective of the world that I would have never had otherwise. And I'm indebted to that. And I see so many younger people like myself who, if they were to see somebody look at Stockton and say, I choose Stockton, they would see it as somebody choosing them. And so I choose Stockton because I choose the people of Stockton.
I love that. Put that on
a
t-shirt. I
know. Me and Wes are going to start crying. Yeah. God. It's just so nice because this is Wes and I, this is right. Our office's job every day is just trying to like change the perception of this place that we know has a fuller picture than what everyone sees in the media and everything else. So like, Brandon, if we could clone you, we would. If we could figure it out, it'd be amazing. Amazing, amazing. So speaking of Stockton, we understand that you are working on bringing a little competition to town. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Not a little competition. That was a lot. Big competition.
Yeah. My desire for not this summer, because I'm not going to be here this summer. If you've seen my tour dates, I'm not going to be anywhere around.
We'll post it on the Instagram.
Starting in June. But no, next summer, I would like to bring a March Madness style spoken word poetry slam to the city, in which would essentially take over the city for like a week and some change. Bring 100 of the best poets from around the world. And from there, essentially just run. Do it just like March Madness. First round, is everybody's just 1v1. Have a good old time. But yeah, like I want to put it in, you know, local places. Like I want to, you know, I'm here downtown right now, right across the street from Bank of Stockton. And so like Papa Herbs, I'd love to have that be a spot where we could host some of the competition. So yeah, like cast iron, being able to even take it to like, you know, Delta College and UOP and stuff like that, and then close it out over at the Stockton Arena. And so I'm going to be reaching out and having my appeals to get sponsorships and donations from people, because I want to put up a good enough prize that it would draw the poets to be able to come, but also draw people to come and get their hotels and things like that. Because if you think about it,
speaking our language, we love that. Hotels, baby. That's we're all about it.
Well, yeah, because I'm thinking, you know, 100 poets, you know, a majority of them going to be coming from out of the city who are going to have to stay in the city. So, you know, if we put on average 3 people in a hotel room, you're looking at 33 hotel rooms just in poets. Awesome. Then we got family, we got friends, we got poetry spectators from around the globe who are going to want to come and just come be a part. You know, that's people spending money on food, transportation, all that stuff. So yeah. It's a good investment into the city. And then for all who are sponsoring, your logo is going to be literally plastered on every single piece of advertisement that we're going to put on, including all the t-shirts that the poets will inevitably get. So we're going to make living billboards out of people for you. So yeah,
well, we would love to help with that for sure. There's no doubt about that. I just love the concept of it. And, you know, obviously, your passion, I think, would make an event like that successful, and you're a draw in your own right. So
totally,
we would love to help for sure.
I also love that you want to have it move around town. Though. That's super. You're not competing. That wouldn't be fair. Yeah. The final boss, Brandon Leak, one-on-one with the poor kid who made it all the way through the bracket. Yeah. No, but the whole moving around town thing too, that's such a fun way for people to, like you said, there's going to be people coming from out of town, and now they are going to get to see a dozen cool locations in town too, not just like one little convention center or something where everything would be happening. It's a really kind of fun, inventive way for people to become Stockton ambassadors. So I quite like it.
And you can highlight like some cool venues in town. To Brandon's point, I mean, like Papa Herbs or Cast Iron, or I think Terra Coffee or Trail, and all those places are great pop-up opportunities to just, and they're, you know, it's kind of intimate too. And I think there's something cool about poetry and its intimacy, but then also blowing it up at the end of these bigger venues. I think that's exciting. So
because the whole idea is if we have it in downtown and we utilize as many venues as we can, it's meant for it to be like March Madness, where multiple things are happening at the same time, where like multiple rounds are all going down, where it's like,
oh, I don't want to miss this. I'm running around. Oh, I'm going to grab a beer before I go there. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Like a bunch of people, you'll just see downtown Stockton flooded with people. Everybody just walking around, especially since it'll be during the summer. We could even have some outdoor events and things happening. We're going to put on workshops for students who would like to come. So like, you know, it won't be during school hours in terms of like the actual school year. But like, you know, if some of the school districts want to like organize some of their even poetry communities around their campuses to come and participate, we would love to have that sort of a thing. I would love to see downtown Stockton in a fashion that I haven't seen it since the Asparagus Festival.
Yeah, no, we get that. All right, so now it's kind of plug time for you. You've got a podcast, you sell merchandise, you got a tour. So where can folks listen and see and learn more about what Brandon Leak has got going on?
Yeah, if you want to keep in touch with me, sorry if you hear a car in the background. People love to rev their engines for some weird reason here downtown, like somebody's actually watching them flex. But if you want to keep in touch with me, my website is www.brandonleake.com. Or you could just follow me on social media. The predominant two being Instagram, which is just my name, Brandon Leak, L-E-A-K-E. I'm the only one with the blue check mark. Or my YouTube, Brandon Leak-CTM. Follow me there. You'll be able to see everything that I have going on. We're releasing content on YouTube every week right now, twice a week when we can. On Instagram, you can keep up with all the updates on the tour. We're I'm going to be starting a monthly open mic here in town starting in August, where I'm going to be bringing featured talent. And if everything works out, that'll be hosted at the Hagen Museum once a month. And then once we get a large enough clientele base, then we're going to transition to that being twice a month, where we'll feature not only just spoken word, but also music and comedy. So yeah, this is going to be, you know, come rock with the boy. I'm trying to do good things for the city here. And we'd even talk about a grocery store. We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah. Before the grocery store, I'd love to chat about that real quick, but also the merch thing, because your merch is like unique. I love the visionary concept, but also it's just not like putting your logo on like Port Authority shirts. Not that we've been known to do that, but like you got some creative stuff. So tell me about that.
Yeah. I like high quality stuff. Like I like having stuff at my table where, you know, you when you watch it or when you look at it, it's like, oh, hey, like I couldn't just get that anywhere. I'd have to get it from him. And so, yeah, I got some unique things. My website for my merchandise is visionaryls.org because it's a visionary lifestyle group. If you want to purchase something, then purchase there. But also at the top of May, at my event at the Hagen Museum, I believe it is May 6th that we're going to be putting on my show. I'm going to be doing a flash sale for all of my last year items that I still have small quantity of. So if you want to come and come not only watch me perform, but come get some discounted materials, I'm going to be selling stuff at 50% off. So jackets that were once $50 will be $25, shirts that were once $30 will be $15. And then for every $10 we sell, I'm going to be giving away t-shirt to St. Mary's Dining Hall to aid the homeless.
Awesome. Well, real quick, let's go back to that subject because I know it's a passion point for you, is this grocery store community access to food concept. Talk about it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So when you think about a grocery store and a gym, the closest grocery store to Arch Road is Airport over at Rancho San Miguel or Food for Less off of Wilson.
Wilson.
Closest gym to, let's say, 6th and Nightingale area where I grew up is the Planet Fitness on March Lane.
That's not close.
And so when we talk about health disparities and health inequalities, it's not just about, oh, hey, you know, like we need to put healthier food in these places. We need to create a healthier culture. And I love my neighborhoods that I grew up in, but they're not the safest place to just go to the park and go take a jog. And so this grocery store and this gym is a passion product project because I want my community to have what it needs to be healthy. I want to change, you know, people's dietary habits. I want to change people from, you know, strictly being, oh, hey, you know, like I work out when I have the ability to catch the bus to get there, to being able to say like, oh, no, like I go to the neighborhood gym, which is why it's called Neighborhood Grocery and Gym.
It's a wild assumption to just think that everyone has access to cars and they can just pop on over to the gym or to the grocery store to be able to pick everything up. And especially the area where you're talking about, it's just corner store, corner store, corner store, corner store, and that you can't fill all your needs with that.
And trust me, as a brother who grew up on nothing but sugar and chips, I love corner stores. But, you know, in my time now, I look at it like, hey, in New York, do you know what qualifies as a grocery store?
No.
You have to have 2 pieces of fresh fruit and 3 dry items and 3 frozen items.
Wow.
So all bodegas are considered grocery stores.
Right.
They'll have an apple and a banana, some frozen Hungry Man, and like some Top Ramen in several flavors. And that's a grocery store, right? That's not a grocery store. And so, yeah, like, you know, I love Sam's or Orlando's. You know, it's downtown right here, and Orlando's used to be out south. And Orlando's offered a lot of good stuff, but Orlando's would even tell you that they were never a grocery store. They were a convenience store.
Right.
No, that's awesome. Oh, let's hope that all comes to fruition for you.
Hey, I'll tell you this, fam. I'm a firm believer in this. God has that store for me for some reason. And whoever gets it, it's a weird thing, fam. Like, I know a blessing in the wrong hands can turn into a curse for somebody. And so just I believe that building's for me. So
that's awesome.
It's coming.
Well, and that's where we'll focus our attention to. And the rest of it, we're specifically talking about the Kmart, right?
Yeah, we're going to get that Kmart.
Right, so everyone keep that top of mind. put your good energy into it. All right, Brandon, last but never the least, if you had someone visiting you from out of town, where's your favorite place to take them in Stockton?
Folks who come from out of town, where do I take them in Stockton? I take them over, I'll list my four spots I take folks to. I take them to Bob's at the Marina for French toast.
Love it.
So that's breakfast. For lunch, we're going over to El Griense on the south side of town to go grab a bite to eat. For a nice, cool, refreshing walk, we're going over to the Consumnes River Preserve, just a little bit north, off the 5. Gonna walk that, and then probably the other place I would take them would be I'd take them to good old UOP and let them see all of the old historic buildings.
It's so beautiful.
So yeah, nah, get a little nature, some good food, and get the chance to see a phenomenal campus that they filmed a good amount of. What was it? Both Flubber and Indiana Jones at.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We just talked about that in our last episode, as a matter of fact.
That's true.
Hollywood,
come back.
I know. We're working on that, actually. We're working on that. Well, honestly.
I know. Now this is in the future, but yeah, it's all confusing.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody who listens to this already knows, because of the date this podcast comes out, that we're working on, you know, the Fantastic Four. Stan Lee said that this is the birthplace of the Fantastic Four, and they're currently working on a Fantastic Four, and we have a campaign that is out trying to make that happen, some acknowledgement of Stockton in that new MCU movie that's coming out. So yeah, we launched that on March 16th, and we have that change.org petition that's still out there, so check that out. So anyway, yes, Hollywood, come notice us.
Hey yo, if you want to cast another black person for the Human Torch, I'm a pretty decent candidate. I'm just throwing that one out there.
You hear that, Marvel?
I love it.
I know you all have had some controversy with that in the past. Just throwing that out there.
I love it.
All right. Excellent. Well, Brandon, thank you so much. This was super inspiring. Thank you for sharing yourself with us. Thank you, honestly, for sharing yourself with Stockton, because I feel like we're being super sappy on this episode, but I don't know. It's not every day we get to talk to someone as passionate about the city and just trying to be a good advocate and a positive leader and doing stuff for the kids and this, that, and everything else. So it's just very inspiring, and it's a nice reminder of why we all do what we do. So thank you.
Perfect. Yo, fam, I'm happy to be here, and I don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon. So thank y'all for a home.
Well, Amy, I don't know about you, but that was a pretty awesome interview, and I love Brandon's passion and feel so good to just have someone in our town. You know, we've had a lot of that great talent, and sometimes they relocate and go to other cities, and I'm glad that Brandon is committed to the Stockton community. Normally we talk about events at this time, but that was a long podcast, so let's just tell everybody to go to visitstockton.org, because we've got the Ube Fest, the Asparagus Festival, the opening of the port season, and the Cambodian New Year all coming up in this next week to 10 days. And so go on the website, check it out. That's where our events can be found. Amy, any parting words?
So just like Wes said, find all the events, visitstockton.org. You guys, when I was looking to see what events to pull for this week, I was like, things are kicking into gear, baby. We are in spring and I'm loving it. So yes, be sure to go out, support the events, and have some fun. For supporting images and insights, be sure to follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram, and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. We will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.